it is providing a truthful understanding of what customers are willing to pay, what they're willing to pay for, that really makes all the difference.
The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner. But the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over four decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Many of us run our own business and we sell something. I mean, that's life in the fast lane in the world of business, isn't it? We're selling ourselves, we're selling our product, we're selling our time, we're selling our knowledge. And the question is, how much do you sell it for? Well, today, our guest today is the Price Whisperer. Isn't that a great name? The Price Whisperer. Name is Per Schofor, and Per has been doing this for quite a while and helping people come up with the right price. And when you come up with the right price, all of a sudden, you can see some vast changes in your business. So, Per, thank you so much for being with us today on the Business of Sales.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited about this time together, and I hope we can add some value to the audience.
Oh, I'm sure you can. There's no doubt about that. Tell us about your journey. How did you become the Price Whisperer? I mean, that's such a cool tagline. I absolutely love it.
Well, first off, I didn't invent it myself. And the story is that I was called the Price Whisperer so many times that eventually I decided to adopt it. And also because, I got such a weird name that it's hard for people to find me just on the name and so forth. But if you Google the Price Whisperer, you find me very, very easily, you know. And the Price Whisperer is also the title of my new book that is available today as a Kindle book. The hard copy comes out, I think, on November 8th, right? And it's by Simon & Schuster, and it's going to be in every bookstore in the States. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. The Price Whisperer. That's a wonderful title for a book.
Yep.
That's great. And so many times it's really difficult if you're like me, you're an entrepreneur, you're out there and you're trying to do business. And the question becomes, what's somebody willing to pay for what I do, for what I sell, for what I provide? That's a hard question for the average individual to handle, Per. It really mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, it is. Let me tell you my story here.
Please, please.
That would help some people here. I ran a couple of companies in Europe before I moved here to the U.S. One out of Zurich in Switzerland, and one out of London. And then I came here and established a division of a fairly large public company that I ran for a few years as well. And after that, I've had four different CEO jobs. Now, in all of these instances, we did experiments with pricing only because it was an interest area for me. And some of those experiments were really successful, you know, meaning that next quarter revenues are up 25%. Others were complete duds. And what I had learned in business school about pricing and could read about pricing at the time was so academic and so theoretical that it didn't help us at all understand why some of those experiments worked and others didn't. So 15 years ago, when I decided I was too old and too opinionated to be a hired gun, I set up my own shop, and I took that interest in pricing and my frustration of the of these hidden mispricing experiments, and I said to myself, what would I have needed, or what would we have needed in all these companies to make sure that every pricing experiment is a success? And then I developed the process that answered that question. What is the process to make sure that every pricing experiment is a success? And so far, we are on project number 739 or so, and we right priced some between 3,500 and 4,000 product or services.
Wow, you didn't start this company last week, obviously.
No, it was 15 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. No. Absolutely incredible. Well, where does somebody start to figure out what a price ought to be for their service or their product?
Well, let me tell you the method that we use, because I think this is crucial to understand. And that book, The Price Whisperer, talks about this in much more detail than I can do here. But we conduct what's called willingness to pay research. It means that it's an online poll in where we go into a customer's, our client's marketplace, and through a series of questions we can understand how they equate the value of a product or a service with price, right? Mm-hmm. And from that, we can predict sales volume and revenue at different prices with tremendous accuracy. Mm-hmm. And once you can predict that, you can obviously set the right price. But that's just the beginning of the process. Mm-hmm. Because then what we do is that we identify the customer profiles that leads to the highest willingness to pay. And thus supports higher prices and higher revenues than other customer profiles. And from a salesperson point of view, you obviously want to focus on where your effort on where you get the most bang for your bucks, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So
suddenly you know which customer category that you want to focus on, because it's going to make life for salespeople a lot easier. But we don't stop with that. We then also realize what product features, functions, and benefits, or service features, functions, and benefit also leads to the highest sales volume at the highest prices. So this is something that then salespeople can use in their conversations with customers, because they know that if I push this feature versus that feature, the likelihood that I'm going to get it closed at a higher price is increased, right? Then we do the same with marketing. So we understand the marketing channels and the marketing messages that leads to the highest demand. Again, what does that mean? Well, more leads, right? Mm-hmm. And specifically more leads of those who are willing to pay higher prices. And then we do the same for the whole sales methodology and the sales channels used. And obviously, finally, we can recommend a pricing strategy that minimizes sales friction, and that's what every salesperson wants, mm-hmm. and maximize revenues.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're all here to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And and we've had... we've had some spectacular wins. You know, we have had many, many companies that over, obviously I can't say any names here, but we have many, many companies that we helped to increase their revenues with 5X, with 10X, right? Not overnight, but over a period of a few years, right? Mm-hmm. Overnight, we have excuse me. We have experiences of companies who have been able to double revenue.
Wow!
Overnight, right?
Man,
just because they were so underpriced, and I mean, we all know this, that when you negotiate with a customer, you shouldn't believe what they say, you know, certainly not believe everything they say.
Yeah.
And and especially not believe what they say about prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is providing a truthful understanding of what customers are willing to pay, what they're willing to pay for, that really makes all the difference.
Hey, pardon the interruption, but I've got some really neat news for you. Next week's podcast guest is somebody that is just very, very special. I'll tell you more about that when she gets here next week. But here's the deal. You know the two hurricanes that just went through Florida and then up around the East Coast and all? Yeah, two hurricanes, almost back to back. I've got friends in Florida who were drastically affected by both of those storms, and here's the point. The media stops talking about it pretty soon after the wind and the waves move on, right? You hear about the hurricane, it comes, everything makes landfall, they talk about how terrible it was, and then they move on to something else. But you know what? The people are still there. Their houses are still leveled. Everything they had, everything is still gone. Who do you think is still there on the ground helping those people? Well, I tell you what, it's a huge business operation, and we're going to talk more about it on the Business of Sales next week. I'll see you then. What do you see, especially for the smaller business out there, Per, what do you see the mistakes that they're making in pricing before they talk to you, obviously? What sort of mistakes are they running into?
Well, there are many pricing mistakes, but there are three of them that is really the most common, I would say. The first is to price to a competitor. Try to find a competitor's price and then price the same, right? Or maybe you say, we're a little bit better than this competitor, so we're going to be a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Or the competitor is a little bit better than us, so we should be a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that even if your competitor have prices on their website, or you sell maybe something through Amazon or so their prices, you still don't know what deals they're making, mm-hmm. right? They may have a geotagged website, so people from different locations sees different prices. They may change their price on their website 8 times a day to see what the price should be. So so it's not a reliable source. And further, how did they get their price? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And the problem also is that setting the same price as a competitor is the first step into the commoditization death spiral, you know, something you want to avoid.
Wait a minute, Per. Commodity death spiral. Oh, isn't that the truth? I mean, the last thing I want to do is be associated with a product that's a commodity, because then I lose all control, right? Oh, I love that. The commodity pricing death spiral. I got to remember that. Thank you.
Yeah. And the point is that's the first step to set the same price. And then you're probably going to have the same marketing messages and the same sort of feature set and stuff like that. And in the end, you're a commodity, and commodity sells on low price alone.
Right.
So and that leaves lower prices, fewer resource to market, fewer resource to develop new products and services and so forth. And in the end, the whole company is on life support, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first really big difference. If you can't find your competitor's price online, it's almost impossible to find, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, other mistakes is to use cost, and your cost have nothing to do with the value that your customers have, right?
Oh, that's an important point. Let's repeat that. My cost, what it costs me to do or to provide or to build or to come up with my product, has nothing to do with the price, because my price has to do with the value that the customer perceives. Is that right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And there is another thing, and I think this is something that I think is near and dear to salespeople because it affects their commission, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So assuming here, we make this little thought experiment that you have a product where the cost is $50 and the method the company is using to set the price is to simple double that. So the price is $100, right? Mm-hmm. So the margin here is $50, and some of that margin goes to the salesperson as commission, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's say that the company then for some reason managed to reduce the cost by $10. So now the cost is $40, means that the price is going to be $80,
mm-hmm.
and the margin is $40. So suddenly the salesperson's commission has gone down with 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and that's no fun.
That is no fun. And this is what happened when you do cost-based pricing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the third mistake is simply use guesswork or gut feel or whatever you want to call it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you a story here. This is a few years back. I spoke to this the CEO of a company. They do contract management software, and so it's a SaaS product.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I decided that the price is going to be $165 per user per month. And then he continued saying, but I don't know if that's the right price.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it should have been $99. Maybe it should have been $250. But $165 a month per user felt really good. Is that the right price?
God only knows. Yeah, I mean, you really don't know unless and until you do the research that you've been talking about.
Yeah, correct. And but there is if you think about, I mentioned that the what we do, we have a series of questions equating price and value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even a real small company or even a solopreneur can find out approximately the right price, not with the kind of precision we can do in my company, mm-hmm. but better than guessing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, hey, anything's better than a thumb in the air guess.
Exactly. And this is... to use this particular methodology here, and phraseology here is important.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a small company, they sell whatever they sell, and what they need to do is they need to find at least 25 potential buyers. Now, these are not existing customers, they are not friends and family, they are not existing prospects. They are 25 new people, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
For these 25, you ask two questions. The first question, well, first you describe your product or service, of course. And then you ask, and this is something called expectation bias. You ask, what is the price now when you know this particular product or service that you feel is so low that you think we're over promising and going to under deliver. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you won't buy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially saying, what is the price that is so low you wouldn't buy this product or service?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you continued and say, now thinking of it from the other side, let's say that you know our product and service, what it does, and what then is the price that is too high that you wouldn't buy it, even if we over-deliver?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then you take, so now you have 25 data points for too low and 25 data points for too high, right?
Yep.
You take the average of those and you have the range where your prices should be.
Hmm.
Not below this price and not over that,
not over
price.
That price. Yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and obviously you want to set your price towards the high end, you know, because that's going to be where your revenues are going to be highest. You know?
I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said that in his consulting company, he started out charging a low amount, you know, per session. He was charging like less than $200. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't getting a whole lot of response. Somebody consulted with him, and he turned around and finally convinced him to do it, and he started charging $1,100 for a mm-hmm. session. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, his business number of clients, not just total revenue, but number of clients went up by like 500%. All of a sudden, he was seeing five times the number of clients that he was seeing before, and he had just increased the price by almost, what is that, 100-fold or something?
Five times,
I don't know.
Yeah, five times. It's something called expectation bias, and not only does we've all been there. We hold something in our hands and we mm-hmm. say, I kind of want to buy this, but this is so cheap it can't be any good, right? And that's the situation that your buddy was in, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And expectation bias also work on the other side. So for him to increase his price or quintuple his price, what it means is that now suddenly the buyer expect a much higher value than what they did at the $200 range, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the expectation bias also works in the way that after the transaction, the buyer who bought at a high price expect a better result, and because of that, they will have a better result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this has been, I mean, different price range here, but this has been proven again and again in research where it's been found that a 5-cent aspirin is not very effective, whereas a 50-cent aspirin is much more effective.
Isn't that amazing? We are strange organisms, we human beings, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's sort of funny. When I set up my my company and the book The Price Whisperer is going to talks a lot about this. I set up this process and I described a little bit about, but then about 5 years ago, I got a wind of something that I didn't know existed. That's called behavioral economics.
Hmm.
And behavioral economics is all about how humans make decisions, and particularly purchase decisions. So here I am, you know, and we have three Nobel Prize winners that we're leaning on. The latest one was 2017, which is when I got to know about this. And so what I have done, the process that I've developed and that we use in my company, is the practical implementation of behavioral economics.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm reading these books from these guys. And I say, yeah, that's true. That's exactly what we're finding all the time. You know?
It's nice when academia comes and mirrors practicality, isn't it? That's great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, and there's some other characters in that behavioral economic space that hasn't gotten Nobel prizes yet. But but I'm sure some of them will.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. This is very, very interesting. It's an amazing process, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Perry, if somebody wanted to talk with you or find The Price Whisperer, I guess the book is, that's an Amazon thing, right? Or a bookstore thing, right?
Yeah, the book, the Kindle version is available today on Amazon. And the print version is available on November 8th and is distributed by Simon & Schuster. So that's going to be in every bookstore in the U.S. And I just had it approved and in Forbes Business Councils.
Oh, great.
So it's also available at Forbes. And again, if you do a Google search on The Price Whisperer, not only are you going to find me, but you're going to find wherever you can buy this book, you know, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever, you know.
That's great. That is great. Barry, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been a very interesting conversation and one that I think will help a lot of people out there that are in the position where they have to price their service or their product. So, man, you've done a great service today for our audience, and I really do appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much, Morrison. It's been a pleasure being on the show.
Well, that's great, man. We love having you here, and it's been a great show. Thank you so much. And for everybody else out there, Paris Show 4, hey, Google The Price Whisperer. Go check out Perry. He's a good-looking guy, too. He's a nice fella. And, you know, I mean, we had a great conversation, and you never can tell. If you're not sure about your price, you might just want to not only read the book, but find Pear and engage his services as well. We would love to see you do that. Hey, everybody go out there and have a great week. Set your prices. Set your prices and have a great week. And we'll see you again next time right here on the Business of Sales